Okay, tonight we are starting chapter 2 of the Green Book. If you do not have a green book and would like a green book, this young man, Vanna, would love to help you. And we are here to be there for you. Tonight we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, in the red book. It should be in the red book, definitely. Oh, you don't have the red book? It's too bad. Well, I have a red book available if you want one. It's $650 or... Or you can help me change my belt on that thing. We'll do it this week. Go get him a red book. All right. So we want to talk about the spiritual gifts. What's amazing is to realize how very, very little people understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But yet they're an integral part of the body of Christ. Everybody say, just blame Jesus. You got to blame Jesus. Why? The gifts of the Holy Spirit were activated by Jesus. They weren't activated by a man. They were activated by Christ. So understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you'll actually start to see them from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. And they are supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. What does supernatural mean? It means above the natural. So what happens is, so when we become so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good, then what ends up happening is we do not think about the supernatural power of God being manifested to where we are able to move beyond our own capabilities, but actually see heaven work through us. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to work through you. And that means that it can't be just you. It has to be God working through you. Which means this, is that what you're going to do is not natural, but supernatural. So a lot of believers are afraid of the supernatural. Well, listen, what's amazing to me is the church is running from the supernatural, but the world is running to the supernatural. I mean, how many movies are out there right now about ghosts and about demons and about possession and, you know, how many cartoons? Have you ever watched the cartoons? Oh, my goodness, man. The cartoons are amazing. How many cartoons are on demonology and devils and the supernatural? They're just everywhere. You know, we have, even in the schools, the school teachers had children reading Harry Potter. All about the supernatural, all about magic and the supernatural things. And you know what? People just thought that that was cute and it was just a nice little story, no big deal. But you need to understand is the devil's design is to get us away from God's supernatural and get us attached to the demonic supernatural. Now, I want to just qualify this real quickly. The devil has only ever come to counterfeit what God has done. The devil is not a creator. Satan was never a creator. He was created. I want to remind you who he was. He was one of the three archangels. Who are the archangels? Michael. Who was Michael? What did he do? He's the warring angel. Very good. Gabriel. What's Gabriel's job? The messenger angel. And then there was Lucifer. What was Lucifer's job? He is worship. In fact, what was amazing about him was it wasn't that he just did music. He literally was music. When you start studying how God created him, when he moved, he made music. His very movement was music. So it's amazing that Lucifer, he was a created being, and what happened, we all know the principles in the scripture, is that he said, I will raise myself above God. And so God cast him down, and according to the book of Revelation, one-third of the angels now followed him. So that those, the angels that followed Satan, are what we call demons or demonic spirits. And then Lucifer himself was cast down. Now, Satan does not have creative ability, but he does have the ability to counterfeit what God has done. So Lucifer is supernatural. He's an angel. But yet, he is not powerful or more powerful than God himself. In fact, I got great news for you. The book of Luke says that he's given us all authority over the power of the devil. which means even Satan himself is subject to us in Jesus' name. So even if Satan manifests himself to you, I'm talking like the Satan himself. I'm not talking like a demon. I'm not talking like an imp. I'm talking like Satan himself manifests to you. You have the authority in the name of Jesus to cast him out. That's the awesome part, isn't it? I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth was doing ministry, and he was in bed. And in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, he felt this most eerie sensation. And he turned over, and it was Satan. Now, he was big enough in the spirit that Satan actually was sitting by his bed. When you understand what his ministry was, he was that big. And he looked over, and there was Satan. And he looked at him and go, "Oh, it's just you." And he rolled back over and went to sleep. That's reality of what it should be. Because Satan is afraid of you. You're not afraid of Satan. I believe it was Lester Sumrall was doing ministry in a city. And in the middle of the night, all of a sudden his bed started to shake. And his bed shook. His demon was shaking his bed. Shook him right out into the middle of the room. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of my room." And Satan left his room. And then he realized his bed's in the middle of the room. He said, "Now get back here and put me back where you took me from." The demon came back in and shook him back to the wall. You need to know, this is very important, how powerful you are in Jesus. You are not weak. Satan is afraid of you. There's no reason for you to be afraid of him. Demons are real. Satan is real, but they can only counterfeit what God has done. So why is the world looking for the supernatural? Is because there's a craving in everyone's heart and a hole in our heart knowing that there's something greater than the chair you're sitting on. There's a hunger for the supernatural. 1-900-PSYCHIC is $2 billion a year. Billion with a B. Listen, one of the only ones that actually filled the arena was the psychic that came in from, I believe she's from New York. When she came into the psychic down here, she came into the arena, people packed that out to hear about the supernatural, to have her use her psychic powers. And you need to know that's real. Ouija boards are real. Psychics are real. Fortune tellers are real. Witch doctors are real. What are those things you harpoon that look like a body? Voodoo dolls are real. Harpoon. All those things are real. Curses are real. They're all real. But what those are trying to do is do the opposite and counterfeit what God has put together called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to recognize this. The supernatural is natural. Everybody say the supernatural, is
natural.
The supernatural is not abnormal. In fact, when you're in a church and there is no manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know that something is wrong. Selah. I'm going to say it one more time. When you're in a church and there is no supernatural power of God being manifested, there are no gifts of the Holy Spirit manifested, something is wrong. When you're in a church and there is no supernatural manifested, something is wrong.
Amen.
Now, the reason I'm getting you to say amen is, what amen means is so be it, which means you're in agreement with it, which means whether you realize it, I just sealed something in your spirit. Now you're messed up forever. Which means this, the next time you go to a church, and God's not moving in that church, there is no supernatural power of God, there are no gifts of the Spirit, because your agreement was already settled right here tonight, and while you're watching by live stream, guess what's going to happen? You're going to sit back and go, something's not right in this place. Because the supernatural is, I didn't hear you, supernatural is, one more time, the supernatural is, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are normal to the body of Christ. This is why we push people to fill this room for rock solid faith. They need to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit and that they are normal and that God wants to use you.
Well, I thought that was for the evangelist.
No, for every believer. How many are believers in the room? If not, we will have an altar call at the end. All believers. So if you're a believer, what are you supposed to believe? The supernatural is natural. That's the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Hey, when you believe in the Bible and you're a believer, you're believing in the Bible and that what God's word says is true. If God said it, I believe it, it's settled. That's called faith. That's called if God said it, then why is God a liar? If God's a liar, he can't be God. So the supernatural is normal and is part of every single church, or should be part of every single church. There is a massive movement to eliminate the supernatural from church. It is big right now, even in Pentecostal churches. Recently, I was talking to a church that's going to be starting in the city that we are now working in. I met with the pastor of the church, and he's a very sweet guy, very nice guy. And I said, well, we've started a church in that arena. And he said, yeah, he said, we're going to be doing that too. And I said, I mean, you're a Pentecostal church. You're going to be moving in the power of God. Ooh, not on a Sunday morning. We don't want to freak anybody out. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Why is that? Because Paul made a declaration that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. The power of God is necessary to be proven, to be shown in our lives so that when we are in trouble, we don't need some nice little preacher saying a nice little cliche. We need God supernaturally to show up in my life to give me a miracle. Amen? Amen? I'm exciting myself. I don't know what's going on with you, but I don't really care. I feel good. Jesus. Whew. The supernatural is natural. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, how many of you are born again? Say, I'm a brethren. Amen, a God. Here we go. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another the different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, who's the distributor of the gifts? Come on, the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. When you gave your heart to the Lord, you now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Turn to someone and say, I think I'm possessed. Now I'll tell somebody else, I know I'm possessed. Amen. If you're born again, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The moment you became born again, what happened was the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. The Bible says you go from death to life. You go from darkness to light. Literally, your spirit man becomes alive. Now, the Bible says that before you knew Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. And you followed your father, the devil. But when you got saved, literally there was a transformation in your spirit, man. Literally, you became alive in Christ because God's Holy Spirit took residence up inside of you. Your spirit, man, remember, you're a trichotomous being. Trichotomy means three parts. You are a spirit, shout, I'm a spirit, who has a soul, who lives in a body. Your physical body is nothing more than a slave either to your spirit man or your soulish man. What is a soulish man? Soulish man is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Now, before you were born again, you lived by these three principles. Whatever you felt, whatever you wanted to do, and whatever you thought was good enough. Didn't matter what anybody else said. But when you got born again, your flesh, that's the synonymous with soul, had to come into subjection to the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. In Him we live and move and have our being. When you became born again, now your soulish man is subject to the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. And how that's proven, you know, everybody says, don't judge me. That's so foolish. It's such a stupid statement. You know, they're just a religious moron who doesn't know what they're talking about. Because the Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. Which means, whomever you are obeying, the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, that means your body is going to obey the work and the will of God, or you're obeying your soul. And the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that your soul or your flesh is the enemy of God. So when you're obeying your soul, you're obeying the lustful flesh desires that are inside of you. So your physical body is doing nothing more than showing who you're obeying.
Say hello.
That's my son's dog, but that actually means think on this, okay? Ponder this. So here we have you and I as sons and daughters of God. Now that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, how many of you are born again? Amen. Say, I'm possessed. Yes. You're possessed by whom? The Holy Spirit. Who's the giver of the gifts? So how many of the gifts dwell inside of you? Well, I thought that was the pastor's job. No. The Holy Spirit dwells where? Who is the giver of the gifts? So how many of the gifts of the Spirit are with the Holy Spirit? So if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and all the gifts the Holy Spirit has, how many of the gifts possessed are in you? You're a gifted person. Not with natural, but with supernatural. So what's happened is the body of Christ has been ignorant. They have not been taught. In this house, we teach. Amen? We want you to know what you believe. Actually, I was talking to an individual one day, and they said, I'm sorry if you're watching this. They said to me one day, they said, the problem with your church is that you teach them too good. I think I find that a compliment. Jesus is good. He says, you're teaching them more than most missionaries know. Well, that's okay because you are a missionary. Amen? Sent to seek and to save them which are lost. You're sent to this world to make a difference. I want you to know everything you need to know about the Bible. I don't want you ignorant. Amen? I don't want you wondering. I want you to know. In fact, that was the exact statement that Paul was making here about spiritual gifts. He said this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, that we should pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, what's interesting is when you look at that word desire, it literally means have a zeal after or lust after. We always look at the word lust as a negative word, but it's not a negative word if it's in the right connotation. Lust means you're driven for. There is a passion for. I want to get that no matter what the cost. That is what lust is. The Bible says here that we as the body of Christ should be lusting after spiritual gifts. I want this so bad. I want God to move in my life so strong. I want the spiritual gifts of God to work through my life that I can touch and change and be a blessing to other people. Woo, I love talking about the gifts. Jesus. So this is the zeal. The other one is this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The word ignorant there means without understanding. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, you see, that's the challenge about this class, because there's two types of ignorance in this world. You have willful ignorance. What's willful ignorance? You have the ability to know, and you choose not to. This class here is the ability to learn. So I'd encourage you next week to go find at least two more people that you know are sitting at home, sucking down television. Say, listen now, stop being a slug. Let's go to the house of God together. Amen? And listen, I don't mind that you watch it online, but if you're 5 miles down the street, douche. That's all I got to say. If there was an interpretation, that one needed to come. So the Bible says that there are differences and diversities of the gifts. Now, let me ask you a question. What's a gift? What's that? Something that somebody gives you. If I want to give this gift to my daughter-in-law, if I want to give this $20 bill to my daughter-in-law, what I want you to do is I want you to get up and I want you to run to that door, then sprint to that door. Go. Go. Run, run quick. Run quick. That's not a run. Hurry up! Wasting time. Now let me say, I was giving you a gift, right?
Yeah.
And right, so you can't have this because this really isn't a gift.
Right, because I had to work.
Right, you had to work. So go sit down.
Did you pay me?
No, I didn't. See, that simple little example is real. If someone offers you a gift, but they make you work for it, is it a gift? No. Isn't that amazing that, well, I must be better. I got to get better in Jesus. I got to get more perfect in Jesus or he can't use me. A gift is a gift is a gift is a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't even have to be good enough for it. Let me help us all. We are never, listen, you are never going to be good enough for God. Whew. What a relief. Amen? What a relief. Never going to be good enough for God. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved because you're good enough. You're saved because he loved you. And you don't get better before you get saved. You get better after because he dwells in you. Amen? That's the transformation of Jesus. So it's important that you recognize that a gift is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. You can't do anything righteous for it. It is a gift. Would you like a gift? Thank you. You're welcome. Did you see that, though? Did you see your reaction? That's many of our reaction when God wants to use us in a gift. Sure. I don't deserve this. Well, you don't deserve this. But he wants to use you. He wants to give you. Did I require you to run? No. Do you want to give that back? You can't. She is so sweet, isn't she? But there are certain things you're not called to be sweet with. This is one, don't be sweet. Someone gave you a gift. Keep the gift. It's a free gift. If they didn't want to give it, they wouldn't have given it to you. Amen? If you take a gift that they didn't want to give you, it's stealing because it wasn't a gift. But you can't steal from the Holy Ghost. He wants to give you. Where does he dwell? Inside of you. He wants to move through you with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are the gifts expensive? No, they're free to all those who will receive. It's that simple. How many of you accepted Jesus? Then you received them, right? Now you got to learn how to get them out of you. Ooh, this is how it works. Now there are different diversities and differences in the gifts. The word is the same here in the Greek. It means a distinction or a difference. In particular, a distinction arising from a different distribution to different persons. So it's the gifts will work differently, yet will be the same. So God's going to work differently in Steve than he's going to work in me. But yet the gift will come out the same. I'll explain that a little bit. Okay? The difference in diversities are in the same, in these realms listed below. The gifts, the gift of divine grace. So the gifts are free. These gifts of the Spirit are nine of them. We're going to talk about them in a second. Administration of the gifts. That's how they're actually worked in the aspect of through different people. So like Brother Ted Shuttlesworth is an evangelist. If you were watching his stuff on Facebook Live just last week, he did a big tent revival down in West Virginia. Now, in the operations, the administration, he is a prophet slash evangelist. He'll move differently in these gifts. In fact, when you start seeing how the gifts are actually larger through him, simply because that's his whole job. But many of us who are working just every day, you're not full-time in ministry, administration, you'll work differently in the gifts. You'll work it while you're at work. You'll work in the gifts while you're in the coffee shop. You'll work in the gifts while you're walking in the front door of the church. The gifts of the Spirit will work through you, but they're different through the offices that are given. Then the last is operation. This is how it works. So let's talk about the different gifts of the Spirit. Let's break them down. Everybody say this, three knowledge gifts. You said that so well. Say this with me, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. So there are three knowledge gifts. What are the three knowledge gifts? The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Oh, by the way, I wasn't sure if you realize there are three knowledge gifts. How many gifts? Three. What are they? Knowledge gifts. What are the knowledge gifts? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Say it again. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Listen now, you're online. I can't hear a word you're saying. You got to speak up. Ready? Three gifts. Word of, discerning of, word. Oh, thank you. Ready? One more time. There are three knowledge gifts. It is the word of wisdom, the word of the discerning of spirits. Very good. You did so well. There are three verbal gifts. So there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're broken up in three segments of three. There are three knowledge gifts. They are the word of, discerning of, word of, discerning of, word of, discerning of, word of, discerning of. Word of, discerning of. Then there are three verbal gifts. You have tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Three verbal gifts. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. There are three knowledge gifts. Word of. Listen, you're all confusing me now. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. There are three verbal gifts, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Ready? tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. There are three knowledge gifts. The discerning of spirits. There are three verbal gifts. It is tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those are what kind? Verbal. So what are the three verbal gifts? Tongues, interpretation of tongues. Are you sure? Okay, the three knowledge gifts. It is the word of, discerning of. Then you have tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and the... You are a very good class. Oh, Jalen, here we go. There are three knowledge gifts. The word of, the discerning of. There are three verbal gifts. Tongues. Very good. Give him a hand clap. Then there are three power gifts. Everybody shout power. Power gifts. The gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the working of miracles. So say this with me. The gift of faith. Please, if you have a pen, I need you to put this in your book. Yeah, I need that pen. I just stole it. What are you talking about? Here we go. It's important because, again, this is one that's misunderstood on a constant basis. So there are three power gifts. You ready? The gift of faith. The gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. So again, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracle. These are the three power gifts. One more time. The gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. There are three knowledge gifts. The word of, discerning of. There are three verbal gifts. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. There are three power gifts. Ready? Gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. So it's important to know that these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now what we're going to do is we're going to break them down individually, and I'm going to explain exactly how they work and show you that you have probably been moving in the gifts of the Spirit as a believer. You just don't even know it. Isn't that cool? And that you can grow in the gifts. You can grow in how you flow. Now, I want to get into this too before we get too far. The very purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God always has a purpose for what he does. Amen? Amen? Oh, by the way, there are three knowledge gifts. The gift of. You're wrong. I didn't say gift. The word of. You guys are confused, aren't you? Three knowledge gifts, the word of, discerning of, three verbal gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, three power gifts.
Gifts of faith, gifts of healing.
Yeah, no drinking allowed. Ready? Speaking. Here we go, three power gifts, gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, okay? Now, there's a purpose for these. God has a purpose for the gifts, and they're found in verse 7. What does verse 7 say? The gifts of the Spirit are clearly described in what their purpose is. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The purpose is to edify, build, and strengthen. Everybody say that with me. Edify, build, and strengthen. So if it's not edification, it's not from the Lord. What's edification mean? I don't know. It's just a big word. It means encouraging. Now, this is where my uncle comes into play. I was preaching in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. My uncle Harold's right here. Preaching in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. He probably doesn't remember this. Preaching in Jaffrey, New Hampshire, it was a marking moment for me because I wrote it in this book. And we're just getting done worship. I'm the evangelist in town and speaking, had a great services. And all of a sudden, in the very back, a woman jumped up and she started speaking out in tongues and then had an interpretation. The interpretation was, there is a man in this church. If you do not repent, that God is going to curse you in everything you do. You don't remember that, do you? Oh, you do remember it? My uncle had been working for her, and she didn't like his job, so she used the church in that setting of gifts of the Spirit to get on him in the middle of service. I told her to sit down and be quiet. Why is that? Because it wasn't edifying, it wasn't building, and it wasn't strengthening. It was actually very demonic, manipulating, condemning. The gifts of the Spirit will never be condemning. The gifts of the Spirit are to build up and to strengthen, not tear down. And for the profit of all, profit means there is value. The gifts of the Spirit bring value to your life, not death and destruction. So when people do this, it is so evil. And one time I was in Long Island, and I think I've given this example before. I've been preaching this class for so many years. I don't know if I told you or not, so just deal with it. I gave an altar call. I had a word of knowledge. I'll explain what that is in a little bit. Had a word of knowledge that someone's left shoulder was in, right. I remember. Yeah. No, I don't remember anymore because I haven't used that car kind of car in a long time. Well, anyways, when you shift, it was your right hand, wasn't it? Okay. So I had a word of knowledge that someone's right shoulder was in absolute agony and that God was going to heal them. No one came up. It's like, you're either very wrong or somebody's just stubborn. And I said, listen, whoever you are, I know you're there because I feel that pain. So get up here. Finally, this woman came out of her chair. Her arm was up like this, and she had a pen in there. You're not listening, are you? No, you're not. You're not even paying attention. So she came up like this, and that's right. I had a word of knowledge about the left shoulder hurting. That's what it was. Left shoulder was hurting, and she came up front like this with her pen in her hand. And I prayed for her left shoulder, and God healed her left shoulder. All the pain left. She was able to move. It was a rotator cuff problem. She was completely healed. And I looked at her and said, what's wrong with your right arm? She goes, it's a birth defect. I was born this way. My arm has never been unfrozen and has never moved. And I said, well, if God could heal the left shoulder, then God can heal supernaturally your birth defect in your right arm. And she said, okay. I don't know if she said okay because she actually believed or not, but I had the faith to believe. I laid hands on her and commanded her arm to be healed in Jesus' name. Well, she left with her arm the same way that she came in. We'll get into that in the gifts of healing. The next night, she came back to the meeting, and she accidentally, because she was just visiting the church, drove in the wrong driveway. And just out of normal reaction, reached up and shifted. Freaked her out. Because she just realized she moved her right arm that had been frozen, and she was in her late 50s, early 60s, and she reached up and shifted the car with an arm she's never been able to move. She freaked out. She got to church, man. She got in the right driveway and came. And the worship service was happening. I'm sitting on the front row. And, man, she just runs up front, and she's dancing all over the sanctuary. I mean, she's just dancing before the Lord. She's so excited. Now, you'd be dancing, too. Dancing all over, just shouting, giving God praise and glory. And all the way from the back I hear, the Lord would say that I am displeased with you. Your manifestation of the flesh of pretending to dance before me. And he just rebukes her totally. And you could literally feel a blanket come upon the body of Christ. And the Spirit of God left. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And he left. And I looked at the pastor. I said, you better deal with him because if I deal with him, it's going to be bloody. And the pastor just didn't have the chutzpah to deal with things. So I walked up front and I simply said, "Sir, you're out of order. Shut up and sit down. In fact, you can leave." Because what he did was, he drove the Holy Spirit out of the room. Man, I want you to know something. That prophecy was no prophecy. It was not from God at all. Why? It didn't do what? Edify, build, and strengthen. It didn't profit anybody but him. So he left, praise the Lord, and I had the worship team start back up, and we ushered in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and God was doing miracles and signs and wonders that night. It was an awesome, awesome evening. So I just want to remind you that the gifts of the Spirit are to do what? There are three knowledge gifts, the word of, discerning of, three verbal gifts. Three power gifts, gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. I'm so proud of you. Are you bored yet? Is this a great class? Aren't you glad you don't have to be ignorant anymore? Turn to someone and say, "Thank God you're not going to be ignorant." Husbands and wives, be nice to each other. All right, let's start talking about the knowledge gifts. I want to explain each one of them. We're only going to get through the knowledge gifts tonight if we get through them. Is that all right? Because I really want you to understand. I don't want you just to hear. I want you to understand. So I'm going to give you different examples. Is that fair? The word of wisdom, which is from what layer of gifts? Knowledge gifts. Thank you, Auntie. The knowledge gifts, she cheated. She looks right there. It's written right there, isn't it? Good call. The word of wisdom is a bit of information of the future about somebody or something that you personally do not know. That's future. So the word of wisdom is a bit of information about someone's future or about something that's going to happen that you don't know. You have no ability to learn it or know it. That's futuristic. So the word of wisdom is always dealing with future. The people that water down the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they say the word of wisdom is just that you get smart. That might have a piece of it, but the word of wisdom is a bit of information about someone's present, the word of wisdom is about somebody's future that you could not know about in and of yourself. It was a deposit, information, given by the Holy Spirit who dwells where? And that knowledge is information you do not know and do not have privy to. Now listen, you got to know this. There are people that have abused the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the 1970s and 80s, they busted a guy in these big tent revivals. He had an earbud in his ear, and he would have everybody fill out cards and what their problems were, and then he would give the cards to the evangelist, or he would read it from the back of the sanctuary. And the evangelist would stand up and say, "There's someone here, your big toe has turned black." Well, what happened is the man's whispering in his ear what somebody wrote down on a card. I want you to know that's abuse. That's not God. But you never throw the baby out with the bathwater, because the devil always tries to counterfeit or debunk the plan of God. A lot of people doubt the supernatural. Problem is, the demonic people don't doubt the supernatural. You ever heard of Santeria? Santeria is a satanic belief system out of the islands. Puerto Rico especially. Santeria is Satanism. And one day we had this kid come to the church, and he was from New York City. And he said he walked into his mother's apartment, who was involved with Santeria, and the witch doctor was there. And they were in another room behind a curtain. And he opened the curtain, and as he did, he looked at the witch doctor and watched her face morph into a dog and growled at him and then morphed back. He didn't doubt the supernatural. The supernatural is very normal in witchcraft. It's amazing, though, how believers stop believing. And that's the work of the enemy. The reason it's the work of the enemy is because if he can stop you from believing in the supernatural, then when you need a miracle in your life or you need to hear from God supernaturally, you have no voice. There is no power. So therefore, you're nothing more than a religious person. You must not only believe, but pursue spiritual gifts. Lust after them, especially that you may prophesy. So the word of wisdom is very much futuristic. I want to read a little bit more so I don't get off on it. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But rather that we are setting forth is a wisdom of God, once hindered from human understanding and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed from the ages of his glorification. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Jesus used the word of wisdom when he came and was revealing his death and resurrection. John 2, verse 19, Jesus said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So he looked at them and started to, what some would call, prophesy. But really, it's the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is a bit of knowledge about someone's future that they themselves could not know. Jesus was declaring, listen, when you kill this body, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He was a human being just like you and I were. He left all of his heavenly glory to come down here and be like a man. Philippians chapter 2. So Jesus had to work in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God revealed to him through the word of wisdom that he was going to die and raise on the third day. And so here we have Christ even moving in the word of wisdom. He also was using the gift concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus said, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another and not shall be thrown down. Now, let me explain what this means. Jesus was born in the vicinity of zero-ish to a little bit up to 3 or 4, some debate a few years back from zero. He was prophesying 70 A.D., He could not have known that that Jerusalem was going to be torn down and destroyed. He could not have known other than by the word of wisdom, a bit of knowledge of the future that he himself could not have known except it was revealed by the Holy Spirit who dwelled inside of him. So this is another word of wisdom. Now, why is it important to show that Jesus was using the word of wisdom? Because Jesus said, greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. Many people believe that Jesus did all the supernatural because he was God. I'm here to tell you he did all the supernatural not because he was God, but because he was the Son of Man. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. Jesus did the miraculous, not because he was God, but because he was a man yielded to the Holy Spirit and used as a vessel just like you and I are. If that was not true, then Jesus could not have said greater works, greater not meaning better, but greater meaning in quantity, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. So that means the same gifts that Jesus used is the same gifts that you can use. Who gives them? Where does he live? How many gifts do you have? When are they ready to be released? Isn't it amazing? Yes. Well, we have a question. Hold on, we got a runner. Run on, man of God. What's happened is we're having an issue with the people online can't hear the questions. So,
two, checkity check.
They can't see you. They can only hear you.
Mic check. Can you hear me? Yeah. Cool. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good.
It's working?
Yep. Oh, you got to hold her right up to your mouth. There you
go. Yeah. You're saying that all these powers of the Spirit are from the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Okay. So now you're saying that Jesus was empowered with the Holy Spirit, but ain't Jesus the Holy Spirit?
When Jesus was down on earth, he left all of his heavenly glory to come down here and be as a man. So he abandoned all of the supernatural power of God, and he came down here. And the proof of that is that Jesus did no mighty miracles until he was baptized in Mark chapter 1 when the Spirit of God descended upon him. And Father God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we watched the Spirit of God like a dove come upon him. At that moment, his ministry began. The Bible also says that he was given the Spirit without measure. So the Spirit of God dwells within him, or dwelled within Christ, to give him the power to do the supernatural. That's why Jesus said, and that's why prayer is so important, "I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only go where the Father has told me to go. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's John chapter 14. So Jesus did the supernatural because he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit obeying God. Bam! Any more questions? We're good. All questions are good. Seriously, thank you so much for asking that question. Nope. It's very important that you ask your questions. If you have a question and you don't ask it, you're cheating yourself and you're cheating the people online. Because your questions are important. If you're thinking them, at least two or three other people are. You just haven't said anything. Someone's got to be brave. Amen? Turn to someone and say, "For goodness sakes, be brave." If you're online and you're asking questions, you can type them out. I'll probably have to answer them later, but I will answer them. If you type them out, I'll make sure that you get an answer. So the word of wisdom is what? A bit of information of someone's future or about some future that you yourself could not know. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we also see this in the book of Acts chapter 21, verse 11, with a man named Agabus. He was a prophet. Now, this prophet looked at Paul and said this. "When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" So it's really clear that this man, Agabus, he wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't going to be with Paul when he was going to be arrested, which, by the way, he was, and thrown in prison. Agabus actually had a bit of knowledge of Paul's future that he himself could not know, and he actually showed him with Paul's belt what was going to happen to him. That's called the word of wisdom. We also see this concerning what's going to be coming now, and that is in the end times with the Antichrist. So words of wisdom still, they've been spoken but have not manifested yet. We're watching them manifest even in our time. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first," which we have seen. It's called the great apostasy. We've watched more people and more churches fall away from God than ever before. Not just people, but churches. We are now watching entire organizations now fall away from God, no longer preach the gospel of Jesus, and actually are now embracing sin amongst their own priests. You can be a homosexual in the Episcopal Church. You can be a homosexual in the Methodist Church. You can be a homosexual in the Lutheran Church. We can go through all the different churches now that have now embraced sin and allowing their priests and ministers to be the opposite of the Scripture. That's called the great apostasy. Paul started prophesying this in the book of Thessalonians, what would happen in the last days. "And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition," who's talking about the Antichrist, "who opposes and exalts himself above that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So what will happen is we're starting to see the first part of this, this word of wisdom come true with the great apostasy with the church, which was also prophesied in the book of Revelation chapter 3 in verse 20-ish, which was 15 through 20, talking about the church of Laodicea, that in the last days what will happen is the church will neither be hot nor cold but lukewarm, so he'll projectile vomit him out of their mouth. He then said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He was talking about, listen, you've locked me out of my own church since I am the head of the church, Colossians chapter 1. You've locked me out of my church. You no longer want me in my church, but I'm standing on the outdoor. If you open, I'll come back in and I'll restore my relationship with you. He's talking to the church, the great apostasy. But then he says what will happen is the Antichrist will show 2 years ago, in November, Tiff Shuttlesworth, the evangelist, came and he proved beyond any doubt that the Antichrist is alive today. So the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is alive on this planet right now. The third part of this prophecy is that the Antichrist will set himself up as God in the temple of God, which is called the Abomination of Desolation, which will be finalized 3.5 years into the Great Tribulation period. So right within this one scripture of Paul with the word of wisdom, we see three tiers of time being released. Isn't that cool? The word of wisdom is what? It's a bit of information about someone's future that you yourself could not know. Amen? Now, how are the gifts of the Spirit released? I think this is important. How does he reveal them to you? How do you know if it's God or not? I see that hint. Yep.
So then, if the word of wisdom is a piece of information about someone or something's future that you couldn't know, what is the difference between the word of wisdom and prophecy?
Here we go. So I'm just going to breach it. Ready?
Okay.
Because we'll cover it later. Prophecy is your conveyor belt. All the rest of the gifts of the Spirit flow on the conveyor belt of what we would call prophecy. I'll explain it later. So I just wanted to put the taste in your tongue. How many senses are there in the flesh? Five. What are they? You can see in the spirit. You can see. How many can see? Smell. Touch. Anybody touch? Touch. Taste. And hear. In the spirit, how many of you know? That is your flesh, man. How many of you got a body? In your physical body, you have five senses. But in your... You be nice to him. He's sensitive. In the spirit, there are six senses. Okay, you following me now? Remember, you are a spirit person. Your spirit is what's going to last for eternity. You are a spiritual person. When you got saved, what came alive? Your spirit. So in your spirit, in your flesh, you have how many senses? Five. In your spiritual man, you have how many senses? Six. Let me explain what they are. Sight, you can see in the spirit. There are visions, dreams, and the word is trances, which means it's an open vision, which means all of a sudden right in front of you, you're actually able to watch what's happening. That's stinking cool, by the way. You can smell in the spirit. Now listen, this is really cool because I'm going to just explain some of these. How many of you have ever seen a vision before? Amen. That's seeing in the spirit. How many of you have ever had a dream before? That's seeing in the spirit while you're sleeping. How many of you have ever had an open vision before where all of a sudden you're standing there and you can just see things right in front of you start to open up and unfold? That's seeing in the spirit. That's not seeing through your physical eyes. That's seeing through your spiritual eyes. You can smell in the spirit. Literally. I have an evangelist friend that I know that if you're coming up for deliverance and right when you get about, I mean, far enough away that he can't smell nothing, he'll know, he'll be able to smell cigarettes. So if you want deliverance from cigarettes, he'll smell cigarettes before you even get to him. If you're dealing with alcohol, he'll smell alcohol before you get near him. You can smell in the spirit. You can too, by the way. Who dwells inside of you? Amen. How can you smell? Because the Spirit of God dwells inside. I remember one time, it was really cool. One time we were doing a revival, this is many years ago, in the early 90s, in Ithaca. We actually had a tent up there. Now, I'm trying to remember where that was exactly. I'm trying to think of what store is there. Now, that's where Five Guys is now. That was an open field. We had a big tent where Five Guys is. That's up just beyond Tompkins Bank on the right-hand side. We had a big tent out there, and the power of God, the anointing was just flowing through the tent. And guests, people walking by, started walking in because they wanted to know why they could smell roses as strong as they did. They thought we had roses filling the tent. It's amazing. Whenever you smell roses, usually it's the Holy Spirit. One time, how many of you know Kathy Stayer? Kathy Stayer's in the church. And this is when she first started coming. We were down in, you know, it was a long time ago. We were down where Samples Barbecue is. That used to be the church. I don't know how many of you knew that or not. We used to own that building, and we had church in that building. And we were down in my office. How many of you ever ate in the restaurant? That used to be my office. So we were in my office, and we were doing a Wednesday night Bible study, and I was playing guitar and singing, and she starts freaking out. Now, there's about 20 people in the room. She said, "Hey," and she got up, and she started sniffing people. I thought that was strange. So I said, "What's happening?" She says, "You guys can't smell that? Who's got rose perfume on? Who's got that on?" Nobody had it on. She was smelling Jesus. She was smelling the Holy Spirit when he filled the room. Had another time when I had actually seeing in the Spirit. It was in my first church, and I was sitting on the front row as our worship leader was up front leading worship. And all of a sudden, in the Spirit, I saw Jesus. I'm standing here. There's the worship. I saw him walk across the front of the sanctuary, walk past me, and walk down the middle aisle. I looked at the worship leader, and he went, "Didn't you see that?" Literally, we saw, he and I, it wasn't just me, he and I both saw Jesus walk across and walk down the aisle. At the end of service, a woman walked up to me, she says, "Weirdest thing." She said, "It was in worship, and I just smelled this overpowering aroma of roses walk by me. What is that, Pastor?" And then I told her what he and I both saw. You can smell in the Spirit. You can touch in the Spirit. How many of you have been touched? You can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Amen. You can taste in the Spirit. This is another one dealing with cigarettes and booze, where he literally tasted it on his tongue, and he knew you were delivered when the taste left. You can hear in the Spirit. Oh, let me go back to smell. I was working for my father in Athol, Massachusetts, and, this is late. I'll have to end with this one. I was in Athol, Massachusetts, and we were working at this really nice house. And I walked into the house, and I smelt this foul, sour aroma. And I'm just saying, what in the world is that sour, nasty? And in my spirit, man, my hair started crawling a little bit. And I knew it was just something evil. And I looked at my dad, and I said, "You know, who owns this house?" And he says, "Well, two lesbians." Every single time I have ever come across that aroma, it has always been either homosexual or lesbians. There is an aroma that spirit carries. It is a very sour smell. Very interesting, huh? You learn how to move in the Spirit. You learn these gifts. Let me keep walking. Here we go. I'm almost done. You can hear in the Spirit. How many of you have ever heard the voice of God? You know, that still small whisper of God. You just know in your spirit. A great example. I won't get into it. I don't have time. Here we go. Now, how many of you have ever heard the audible voice of God? My Uncle Howard heard the audible voice of God. That's how he was called in the ministry. He asked God never to do it again. He said, "It scared me to death." So, you can what? You can see in the Spirit. You can smell in the spirit. You can touch in the spirit. You can taste in the spirit. You can hear in the spirit. And the last one, which is number six, is you can know in the spirit. You ever just look at somebody and you know they're born again? You don't know why they're, you don't know how you know that. You just look at them and you know that they know Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. There's just a knower. You have a knower. You ever walk into a situation and you just know this is bad? You ever turn on the TV and, man, you see some evangelists up there preaching and you don't know why? Everything looks good, but inside it's just grinding. Something's not right here. Something's not right here. I don't understand, but something's not in order here. Something's not good here. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Something's not right here. It's called your knower. God loves to work with my knower in a three-day advance, and I always give him praise for 3 days in advance. One day I was in a... I was visiting a lady. This is way in the beginning of this church. She was our treasurer. And so I was visiting her and her husband, and we had a great supper. And after supper, I walked out on their front porch, and I'm just looking around, and all of a sudden I get this, inside, it's just like bad, 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 bad. I don't know what's going on. I don't think it's like the devil, and I don't think it's, I don't smell nothing. I don't know what's going on. All I know is something ain't right. My wife and I get home that night, and she looks at me, and she says, something's not right. I am uneasy inside. Something's just not right. And I said, well, that's two. So hang on. So I started praying. I love it when he warns me. I started praying, Jesus, I don't know what's going on, Lord, but you wouldn't warn me if you weren't going to prepare me. So, Lord, I thank you that you're already making all things work together for good. Within 3 days, I get her letter of resignation. Then I start looking at the checkbook. They were turning off our lights. They were turning off the heat. They were turning off the phones. She never paid bills. And we were $1,100 or $1,200 negative. I said, God, you warned me, you told me, so what are you going to do? And that day, a man came over to the at that point, the office was at my house, and he's hanging out. His name was Lou. And I said, Lou, man, you know, this is what I found. He's a businessman. Look, this is what I found. He says, that's no big deal. Here, hold on. Takes out his checkbook, writes a check out. So here you go. But I knew 3 days before it ever happened. I usually know 3 days before the stuff's going to hit the fan. Because I have a knower. Everybody say, I got a knower. Amen? So in the spirit, there are six senses. And your sixth sense is, by the Holy Spirit, you know something that you should not normally know. Questions? Yes. Hold on. Microphone. Mr. Microphone. Look, they grabbed you as the runner.
How is that any different or from tuition or discernment? Intuition or discernment?
Intuition, if you're born again, intuition by the Holy Spirit will actually not couple it, but he uses your conscious man and your subconscious. We'll get into that in a little bit, so I don't want to break it when we get into discerning of spirits. Okay? Great questions. Listen, all questions are good, but if I am going to cover it and when I finish this out, I'll hold you off. Here we go.
So you spoke earlier of as if you envisioned something happening before you, and I wanted to know how you meant that. And in my understanding of what you're saying is that the Spirit gifting you with the eyes of discernment, like you're seeing an example. We're standing there, saved and unsaved. Two people standing there. He's looking upon a situation. He cannot see the things that I see unhappening because the Spirit's revealing them. Those are my eyes of discernment, I believe.
No, those are actually the eyes of your spirit. Discerning of spirits has three levels. We'll get into them. But the third level, the deepest level of discerning of spirits, very few people have, which is the actual ability to normally see in the spirit realm, which is angels, demons, and activity. Very few people have that level of discerning of spirits. But you will get a vision. Like that for me was a vision. I literally saw him walk across the front. So did the worship leader. That was a vision that I saw with my spiritual eyes. Any more questions? We'll pick up here next week. Woo! Isn't this good? We've just barely started. I love this stuff. And then we're going to have you pray with people at the end of when we're done with this chapter. Boy, I didn't feel anybody get excited about that. Amen. Let's all stand. We remind you to be a giver. You should never come to the king's house without a gift. Amen. Now, that I will never not say. So if this offends you, this is probably not the great class for you. But you should never come to the king's house without a gift. It is found in the book of Proverbs. And whatever gift you determine between you and the Lord is what you should give. But Father, I just thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we stir up the gifts of the Spirit that dwell within us already. Lord, we want to understand them. And Lord, as you reveal to us your gifts that you want to use in our lives, I pray that you start using us with understanding, not by accident. That God will be able to be a greater testimony, showing your power, showing your love, showing your concern to the people in this world, that they will believe that God is great and truly loves them and knows them, because we're able to reveal through the supernatural power of God, the six senses of the Spirit, what they know we do not know. So, Lord, use our lives. Bless the offering. Bless those online. We give you honor and praise. And everybody said, amen. I love you.